Shalom. This is Stephen Yao. We're reading from Deuteronomy 22. How can we recognize the evil from good? And how can we discern? How can we be naive? Well, we can be naive if we neglect to read Yahweh's law because we don't know what's going on. And we could be too critical, too, if we really don't understand his law, because we could go beyond what Yahweh's law says and be accusing somebody of something they're not even guilty of. We could be too naive or too critical, but we need to be discerning, not naive or critical. We need to judge righteous judgment, John 7:27. So this is concerning a virgin woman in Deuteronomy 22. It's the first known command here regarding morality and marriage in 22. It also talks about being unclothed in the same chapter here. And all the different regulations regarding morality. Not all of them, but most of them anyway. And it's about love. And in verse 5, it says, "The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are an abomination." It's one of the statutes given here in Deuteronomy. The next one talks about logging. If a bird's nest chanced to be there in the way in any tree, and maybe you could read that later, talking about an embattlement. In verse 8, verse 9 is about farming. And verse 10, Deuteronomy 22:11, "Thou shalt not wear a garment of diverse sorts, woolen and linen together." I don't know if there's any garments like that, but there better not be if you're a believer. This is about love here, loving Yahweh, obeying Him, and being qualified to be filled with the Spirit is by our righteousness as of our Messiah, but also if we obey Him. Acts 5, I think it's verse 24. "Thou shalt make thee fringes upon the four quarters of thy vesture, wherewith thou coverest thyself." Also in Stephaniah or Zephaniah 1:8, Stephen 1, verse 8. So we're supposed to be wearing fringes, not just for the priesthood. If we're a believer, we should do these things. Then next verse, regarding the immorality, as we call it, "Is any man take a wife and go in unto her and hate her and give occasions of speech against her and bring up an evil name upon her and say, I took this woman, and when I came to her, I found her not a maid." In other words, she was not a virgin. "Then shall the father of the damsel," or the woman, "the father of the woman and her mother, take and bring forth the tokens of the damsel's virginity unto the elders of the city in the gate, and the damsel's father shall make a judgment there. They will see the cloth, whether or not there was blood on it from that marriage night." Deuteronomy 22:14. "Where is the token of our virginity?" Are we wearing the righteous garments that Yahweh has commanded for us? We have the fringes, the four quarters of thy vesture. Do we, when Yahweh comes back, will He find us the bride of Messiah? Will He find us a maid or not? You know, people can go to the Gospels to try to condone divorce and remarriage, or they can go to, not the next chapter, but 24th chapter, and go there. If you don't go back to, if you don't back up two chapters where it's initially basically written about the law of marriage and the law of virginity and immorality and morality, then you don't have the understanding, because it says here in 24, in chapter 24, when a man has taken a wife and married her, so yes, marriage is a scriptural thing, "and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes because he has found some uncleanness in her." In other words, that fornication we were talking about there. If if the damsel in Deuteronomy 22 and here in 24 had been found not to be a maiden and there was no blood on the marriage night on the cloth there, then and there was fornication in her or uncleanness, then what he is to do? He is to write her a bill of divorcement and give it to her in her hand and send it out, send her rather out of his house. When she has departed out of his house, she may go and be another man's wife. See Mark 10:12. But she wasn't legally married. There was uncleanness in her. She was not a virgin. Thou shalt not pervert the judgment of the stranger, nor the fatherless, nor take a widow's raiment to pledge. Deuteronomy 24:17. There's idolatry around. We can see that everywhere. People are hung up on the appearances and you know, whatever feels good. Go to Ezekiel. Well, just to kind of warm things up, Ezekiel 9:13. Turn thee again, and thou shalt see greater abominations that they do. And 16, verse 16d, they worship the sun toward the east. Now, we don't celebrate, we don't use the word Easter. We don't use pagan names or titles. We don't recognize Halloween as being a legitimate feast day of Yahweh. The word Easter is means asterisk, and that's a no-brainer. You just go to the word asterisk there in the Book of Kings and Chronicles, and but mainly in Kings there you can find that, and that translates to the English word Easter. Actually, it goes the other way. Easter translates to asterisk, a pagan goddess. Verse 17, he said unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing that we make such light? Well, it's okay to title the resurrection of our Savior and Messiah, to call that Easter, a pagan fertility goddess. Is it a light thing to the house of Yehuda, you know, which you are? We are descendants of Moses and Abraham, unless we are Greek. I'm not Greek. So therefore I'm a descendant of Moses. And the house of Judah, that they commit the abominations which they commit here. They have filled the land with violence and returned to provoke me to anger. And they put the branch to their nose, or, you know, the finger goes out there, the phalanx. Therefore will I also deal in fury. My eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity. And though they cry in my ears with a loud voice, yep, I will not hear them. Many places in the scripture, Yahweh says he's not going to hear us for our disobedience. Maybe not your disobedience, or maybe not at this moment anyway. Not your disobedience. Maybe later. So let's go to chapter 9 of Ezekiel, verse 4. Go through the midst of the city, Yahweh said. Set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. And to the others, so he's going to put a mark on us for sighing over the abominations. There's a lot of abominations. One of them is pride. And to the others he said, go you after him through the city and smite. Let not your eye spare, and neither have pity. Slay utterly old and young, both maids and little children and women, but come not near any man upon whom is the mark. Now, that's not the other mark that we read in Revelation, the mark of the beast. That's the one in verse 4. Sigh, those that sigh and cry for the abominations. Begin at my set-apart place. Then they began at the ancient men which were before the house. They slay them. And that's... appears that it's going to be happening maybe in his second term of office when he gets in 2012, I think it is, when the president of the U.S. government gets reelected. His second day in office, I think, would be a very obvious time for them to enact all of their vicious laws that they've been trying to put into effect. And, you know, it'll be, at least it'll be the end of all things in America. In the United States, it may be the end. We are coming to the end of the 6,000th year of man's time on this earth that we know. Our 6,000th year is coming up, and so therefore the rest year, the Sabbath, the 1,000th millennial year is coming up here. Well, at least as far as we can reckon, we don't know that for sure. You know, people always argue, oh, no man knows the day or the hour, but you can look at the book of Hosea, but I think it'll be around the year, somewhere around 2030, where we believe the 6,000th year is going into that next century and that millennium, 7,000th rest year, the Sabbath, 7,000th year is coming soon, so we want to be ready. Some of us won't make it that long, not that we won't be able to endure the persecution coming up in his second term of office or whatever, or whenever it happens, but we'll just die, we'll get too old, won't be around. So we'll be like in Acts chapter 2, we'll be like David, King David. We'll be in the grave waiting for Yahweh the Messiah to return. Okay, there we go. Ezekiel 13, verse 10. And we all want peace. We all want not only the lack of war, but we want real shalom. In other words, have things done Yahweh's way. If we all did it that way, there wouldn't be any problems. It said there in 13:10, because they have seduced my people, saying, peace, and there was no peace. One built up a wall, and lo, others daubed it with untempered mortar. Ezekiel 22:28. Well, we're not going to cover the entire book, and we're skipping a lot here. Oh, we're skipping a big part. We've got to go back to 20 here. So 22, 28? And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar. So this, things that are being done in many churches these days are vanity. Untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith Yahweh, when Yahweh has not spoken. We attended the Assembly of God for many years, where many women and men would prophesy, and thus saith Yahweh. And some of it could have been from Scripture. Some of it was probably like this, Deuteronomy 14, and, or excuse me, Ezekiel 22, and Ezekiel 14, and 13, and so on, talking about false prophecies. Just one false prophecy doesn't make a person a false prophet necessarily, but, you know, if their whole ministry is speaking against Yahweh's word, then they certainly are a false prophet. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned my pure things. They have put no difference. They didn't have any discernment. They weren't critical at all. They were too naive, or they were just, their minds and their heads were set on being rebellious, disobedient. Deuteronomy 22:26. They put no difference between the pure and profane, or King James and other versions say holy. And we don't use Easter or holy and 40 other words explained on this website, yahweh.com. Neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. You want to profane Yahweh's name and his character? Well, just follow the churches of the world. Where do you find a good assembly, a good Scripture believing, you know, if you're a messianic person, where would you go to a good messianic assembly? Well, just keep looking, just keep looking. There's a lot of run-of-the-mill assemblies out there, but and there's a lot of websites, and you know, not everything is good. It's all good, they say. There is a lot of great teaching. Elia.com and TNTRevealed.com and Karite-Corner.com and so on, but you know, it's not all the truth. Nobody is perfect yet, but we're not going to give up. We're going to keep seeking Yahweh's way. So let me see. We are okay. We did Ezekiel 13 and 14. Yeah, we're going to chapter 20 here. And why are we've been dispersed, and why are we being persecuted? Why the Holocaust? Why are people in countries, India, or coming to America? The judgment is coming here, but why are all these things happening? It tells us, right? He tells us. In the seventh year, in the fifth month, the tenth day of the month, and so on. In Ezekiel 20, verse 20, I want to back up far enough. We don't want to read it all because we did this earlier. I encourage you to read it all over and over. It's the most powerful chapter. 22, nevertheless, I withdrew my hand, Yahweh said, and wrought for my, with a W, wrought for my name's sake that it should not be polluted. They're polluting his Sabbath. You know, they're changing to a different day of the week to make it more convenient, which would seem, you know, why can't he see it our way? Why can't Yahweh just, why can't he just understand that we have a problem and things just need to be done our way and not his? Well, that's not the way it works. Not according to Yahweh. Because here's what's going to happen. It shall not be polluted in the sight of the heathen in whose sight I brought them forth. His name will not be polluted anymore like it is in the sight of everyone on earth here. Everybody sees this going on using the substitute names and the perverted names for Yahweh instead of his real name. I lifted up my hand unto them in the wilderness that I would scatter them. He told them, and he did, he scattered us among the heathen and dispersed us throughout the countries. Because, you know, why are we dispersed from the chosen land, from the Hebrew land, what commonly called Israel? Because, here it is, verse 24, here's why this all happened. I mean, it's great that we were dispersed and went to America. And, you know, how wonderful it is for the Native Americans as well as all other people of all different races to enjoy such a great place. East Coast, the West Coast, the Plains, the Midwest, and the South, and everything, you know, Alaska. Because they had not executed my judgments. So destruction is coming, judgment is coming, because we hadn't executed Yahweh's judgments that we were just reading about earlier. Read about divorce and remarriage in Deuteronomy 22. We had despised his statutes and polluted my Sabbaths, and their eyes were after their father's idols. And then we build bigger idols too. You got your big truck there just to impress others, not your humble old hunting car, your humble looking open to public criticism car, your attire, your house, your lawn, that large truck or SUV, your attire again. Everything has to be approved in the eyes of man and the present establishment, the government of the U.S. And your testimony is this. This probably isn't your testimony, but hopefully it is not your testimony. As I am a citizen of the great government here. And they consider federal holidays, so I take off federal holidays, I eat their foods. I'm a Babylonian. I wear Babylonian clothing. I was going to use a brand name here, Carhartt, but I don't know, a believer could wear Carhartts, I guess. Couldn't he? But the concept is still there. You know, we got to have all these idols, the Western thought, the way of thinking that boys will be boys, girls be girls. What's that about? Well, we'll get to that later. They had not executed my judgments. They had despised my statutes and polluted my Sabbaths, and their eyes were after their father's idols. And I gave them also statutes that were not good and judgments whereby they should not live. We were a member of the Church of God. It was the seventh day. Church of God, Seventh-day Pentecostal. We were there in the 90s for a number of years. And they taught about the Sabbath days occasionally, but that they were optional. They taught that the feast days, the Feast of Tabernacles and Passover and so on, the commanded set feast days were optional. And they taught about the dietary laws, the clean and unclean was a pretty big issue that they spoke on that, but it was still optional. If you went to a foreign country, then it was said if they offered you some, according to Romans 14, their twisted understanding of that, then you could, that private interpretation there, then you could, you know, in Rome, do as the Romans do. Eat a pizza with all kinds of who knows what on there, unclean animals. And clean and unclean and vegetables all mixed together in a big conglomerate. So who can say what's on the pizza? You know, don't embarrass your guests. That's what they were teaching there, that the law of clean and unclean in Leviticus 11, Devarim, or Deuteronomy 14, that those are the clean and unclean laws. Noah put the unclean on the vessel by twos, and the clean by sevens, but that was a fact, that was true, but still, it was open to private interpretation, and just however you personally felt, you doing okay? And unclean and clean is a absolute truth taught in Yahweh's law. It's not just what others are saying. Then there's the problem here, well, but we ought to all conform to one standard thing that is not necessarily from Yahweh's word, conform to using just one name for Yahweh. So let's go by Yeshua or Yahoshua, and let's all stick to this one so people won't be confused and they won't accuse us of using 100 different names out there. And when it comes to the calendar and the Sabbath days and the feast days, let's just all standardize and go with one plan, whether or not it's right or not, or scriptural or not. That's irrelevant, or that's not as important as that. I think that, and I don't agree with them, but I think that they're saying this. I think we should all just have a certain calendar and go by that. Let's unify and get under a unity, whether it be a false unity or not, it doesn't matter. An ecumenical type of Sabbath-keeping unity, where all Sabbath keepers ought to have just one name to agree on. The name we can all agree on, and the feast day we can all agree on. Well, that's just really not putting Yahweh first. We need to, you know, not worry about what others say, or the Roman Catholic Church is using in their hymnals. They use Yahweh, so that's the most acceptable. You know, Jehovah was pretty big, but Yahweh seems to be the most popular, acceptable word to use for our Creator. So why can't we just use that one so that the rest of the world won't say, oh, look at them, they've all got 100 different names out there for the Father and the Savior. But you know, that's not really being careful. And being very, very critical, what we need to do is be cautious and careful and critical and resolute, circumspect, and not sloppy, but very meticulous in studying about Yahweh's separated name. So it's not just what the leader tells us that we need to do and say. You know, if the leader is wrong, I'm not going to follow him. Or she, right? But there are many, many leaders out there saying that we should just come up with one plan, and that plan is their plan because they agreed with somebody else out there, different churches, different throughout the world. They're all, the popular consensus is that we need to agree on this one name. Well, that's just not going to happen for us. We're going to continue to use Yahweh, because of law. The V came first, according to the majority of Jewish dictionaries and many other Jewish and non-Jewish dictionaries and encyclopedias and concordances. There are a few which will even say that the W came first, but the majority are saying, there we are going with a popular opinion, right? You know, but I can see by the testimony, the character generally of people who use the Yahweh name over Yahweh, that the character seems to be a little bit more strict and obedient to Yahweh. Their hearts seem to be focused or intent on obeying Yahweh's will. And that's kind of a hard judgment to make about people. If they use the W, then they're, what, they're wishy-washy, but if they use the V, they're... Now, I know of a Yahweh person who has a very bad ego problem. And so, therefore, he's into idolatry. He's, you know, that's worship of self. That doctrine is actually coming out in a church. I better not mention their name, I guess. I might get into way deep trouble. It's just a small assembly out on the West Coast, but they are saying that they are gods, that they're going to be worshipped even when they get to be with Yahweh, that they too will be worshipped as well. So, I don't... there's just no end to their idolatry, worship of self, selfish things going on, you know, the self-esteem, the psychology and stuff, the music that we are not careful enough about and listen to just about any kind of rock or Christian rock that comes along, and we don't ask the question, now is that right, is that acceptable or not? You know, we're not going by the rules. We're not doing the research and taking the time to meticulously look at some of these issues about all the things in our culture that affect us. How can we be properly attired, not only the right heart, the right attitude, and loving Yahweh, loving our neighbor, in the most intent way that we can, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Not only doing that, but you know, taking care of the particulars that are a part of being a loving person, a loving woman, or wife, or a loving husband, a loving man there that loves his wife and loves his fellowship of believers or fellow believers out there from different assemblies who are hopefully striving toward Yahweh's kingdom and, you know, wanting to love him with all their hearts, soul, mind, and strength, and obey his word. Because it's not that easy to go astray. It doesn't take anything at all. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. All it just takes is one little bit of compromise, saying, well, that religion, let's see, they're doing this, they're using that name, and they're keeping a certain day, so let's just codify with them instead of lining up with Yahweh's word. But judgment is coming, and I think it's about 2 years away as far as the Americans are concerned here. Be probably around 2012 when things really start popping and falling apart, not that they haven't already. If you really scrutinize and look at what's happening in our governments and schools and even churches, and that people don't even seem to care anymore. That there's just a total apathy and apostasy. Apathy, apostasy, I guess they go together. Lukewarmness. Laodicean lukewarmness, apathy, apostasy. Yes, those four words there go together quite well. And they're not... they don't care what kind of a scripture version they have, where the origin of that is from. If it's from Oregon, or if it's from Egypt. If it's taken out 20% of the word. They don't care about their attire. The ladies go in wearing anywhere from 2% cleavage to probably 50, and you know, whether they're in church or whether they're at work or out in the marketplace. It's just, of course, you could say that society will change, as you know, they go in up and down on these things. They make a full circle and so on. The different trends and so on, you know, but I think we're generally, if we go with the Babylonian culture, we're just all, as a whole and on the average, we're headed downhill, and we need to get out of that. Well, please leave us a little note, if you would, just go up there on the web page. Probably too late for that, but you get back to our website, Yahweh. Click on the contact button and leave us an email or something to encourage us and let us know that the microphone is still connected to the wall somewhere there, and that we're broadcasting somewhere or another. We really appreciate your effort on that to help us along that way. We're not asking for the $1,000 gift right now, although it would be nice if you would enclose a nice, crisp $100, $10. Well, how about a $1? How about a $1 bill? Yeah, that'll work. We'll take a buck anyway, and go down and get a half a cup of coffee or something on these days of inflation. But no, we really don't want your money. We recommend the Gideon's Society that distributes the scripture, as long as they're distributing it with the King James, or not some of these watered-down, wishy-washy versions of Scripture. And thanks again for joining us here. And for reference, we read from Ezekiel 20. We read from most of it was from Ezekiel. We went to chapter 8, chapter 9 verse 4. We went to 13:10. Went to 14 about the idolatry. And we didn't go to Romans too much. We talked about breaking our covenant with our mate, or not even being properly set apart to begin with in the marriage situation, back in, where was that, Deuteronomy 22. And you can just go back to this tape and pick that all up. We've got some new listeners now, some new, because we not only feature the MP3, but we feature as well the WMP and WAV files, so people with less technical computers can pick that up on Yahweh. This is Stefan Yah. Shalom to you, and we'll be praying that Yahweh will come quickly and have the bride have us prepared for his second coming. Hallelujah.